Concerto. Tickets online at DallasSymphony.com or at 214-692-0203. November 21st through the 24th at the Meyerson, the Dallas Symphony Orchestra honors the JFK 50th.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. 50 years ago today, an assassin's bullet ended the life of President John F. Kennedy as his limousine passed admiring crowds in Dallas. KERA's Shelley Koffler reports Dallas today, for the first time, will officially mark that moment with a ceremony at Dealey Plaza.
Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4.
In the final hours before the event, crews tested the sound system at Dealey Plaza. They nailed non-skid fabric to the platforms where 5,000 dignitaries and randomly selected members of the public will sit. The BBC's Mark Mardell was among the hundreds of foreign journalists checking out the location for his network's live broadcast. He says that 50 years after his death, President Kennedy is still a mythic figure in Britain.
Well, when Kennedy died, it sent shockwaves around the world, and there are many people in Britain who remember that. But I think also there's a fascination with America, with American politics in Britain, and Kennedy still seems to be, for many, a bright beacon of hope.
Conveying Kennedy's message of hope is one of the goals for the committee that's been planning this observance for a year and a half. Committee member Tredima Ussery believes that will come through when historian David McCullough reads from the speech that President Kennedy was supposed to deliver that day.
We would like for the world to hear the speech that he was going to give. It's going to be shocking in terms of how relevant his words are today. Because when you hear the speech and hear the president's words, they were so aspirational, so optimistic about the days ahead.
The 90-minute observance will also include the ringing of church bells and a moment of silence at 12:30, the time of the fatal shooting. Kennedy was a Navy veteran, and there will be a performance by the Naval Academy Men's Glee Club. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings said he wants his speech to reflect what Dallas has learned from the most tragic event in its history. Ussery says the city wants to make sure people never forget.
That's why there's going to be a permanent monument. It's going to be placed down at Dealey Plaza that commemorates the president.
Ussery says the unveiling of that plaque and every aspect of the ceremony was discussed with members of the Kennedy family.
They did not want to be here. But yes, they know exactly what's going on. It was important for us to get sign-off from them. So we wanted to make sure they were comfortable with the tone of what we were doing, the content of what we were doing, and the context within which we were doing it.
Ussery says this is Dallas's chance to go beyond the shame it's felt as the city where the promise of a beloved president was cut short. It's the chance to show Dallas has grown and become more inclusive, a city that can look to the future because it's acknowledged the past. Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
KERA 90.1 will broadcast the special, the 50th, Remembering John F. Kennedy, live, beginning at 11 this morning. Doctors Robert McClellan and Charles Baxter were part of the Parkland Hospital team that tried to save Kennedy. They were with a body in Trauma Room 1 when a priest arrived. In our JFK Voices series, McClellan talks about what he saw.
He completed the last rites and was closing his little satchel up that he had had the material in that for the last rites. And as he did that, the door opened again to Trauma Room 1, and Mrs. Kennedy came in and walked over to the gurney, to where the president was lying at his head, and she stood there for a few moments, and she exchanged the ring from her finger to the president's finger, and a ring from his finger to her finger. And then she stood there for another few moments, didn't say anything, was very composed, very dignified, impressive lady under those circumstances. She walked down to the foot of the gurney where the president's right foot was protruding out from the sheet, and she stood there for a moment and then leaned over and kissed his foot and walked out of the room. And that was the last we saw of her that day at Parkland.
Dr. Robert McClellan, now 84, is a professor emeritus at UT Southwestern Medical Center. You can hear our other JFK voices at kerannews.org. Back in 1963, Dan Rather was CBS News bureau chief in New Orleans. He came to Dallas for President Kennedy's visit, but he was outside Dealey Plaza when the motorcade arrived. In our Friday conversation, Rather tells KERA's Eric Austin how he became the first to report the president's death.
Dan Rather, welcome to KERA.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
You know, you just returned to Dealey Plaza for the first time in two decades. What was it like to go back there?
It's always eerie to return to Dealey Plaza. You know, I consider it sacred ground. It's been made into a memorial of sorts. But I'm always a little uncomfortable in Dealey Plaza. For me, a lot of the old ghosts begin to dance when I go to Dealey Plaza. It has been a long time ago, but I still have vivid memories of so much of that day. And it was a turning point for the country and, yes, a turning point for me as a person and as a pro.
You were near Dealey Plaza when the bullet struck the president. 50 years later, what stands out about that day?
I did not hear any shots. I didn't realize what had happened. I thought I saw the presidential motorcade whiz by, but I wasn't even sure. But when the rest of the motorcade didn't follow, I knew that something, I knew not what, was wrong. And then I crossed over Dealey Plaza, running back to our local station, KRLD. I didn't know what had happened, but I knew something had happened.
You know, you were the first reporter to confirm JFK's death on the air. What would have happened if you had been wrong?
Well, I'd probably not be talking to you today. But, you know, I had covered the police beat in Houston, where I grew up for a long time, and I knew, you know, a doctor had said he was dead. Priest said he was dead. A member of the hospital board had told a member of the KRLD staff Eddie Barker was dead. There wasn't any doubt in my mind that he was dead, but it wasn't my place to have CBS radio and television play the Star Spangled Banner and announce the president was dead. They asked me what the situation was, and I said, he's dead. And they said, are you sure? And I said, yes. So radio did play the Star Spangled Banner and announced the president was dead. Television, they had no doubts about it, and Walter Cronkite said, you know, Dan Rather in Dallas has confirmed he's dead. But on the television side, they decided to wait for the official announcement, which came, I don't know, 10, 15, maybe 18 minutes later.
Now, Dan, you were one of the first to see the Zapruder film that captured JFK being killed, and you raced on air to describe it. What was that like, having to talk about that scene on television?
Well, it was another, you know, shock and challenge. We were among those who helped find the Zapruder film and played a small role in getting the film processed. And as a consequence of that, I was shown the film the next day in Mr. Zapruder's lawyer's office. They wanted money for the film, and they said, we're going to show you this film once and only once. When I first saw it, you know, it only lasts not that many seconds. My jaw dropped, my eyes bugged. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, but I realized my responsibility was to get back while we didn't have the film to show and describe what I had seen.
Dan, you're in your early 80s now, and I wonder how often you think back to that day back in 63.
You know, my mind wanders back fairly often. Obviously, with this 50th anniversary and all the attention paid, it goes back more often. Sometimes, sort of inexplicably, just at an odd moment, a kind of videotape from my mind begins to play of the events in Dallas.
Now, I understand that CBS has not invited you back to join in the network's JFK anniversary coverage. Does that bother you at all?
You know, it puzzles me a little. When I left CBS News, it took me a long time to realize that someone on, I think mostly on the corporate side of CBS, had decided to just try to wipe me out from the history of the company, that it wasn't any Ed Murrow to Walter Cronkite to Dan Rather. Dan Rather just wouldn't exist. Look, I know what I did and what I didn't do. I didn't do it perfectly, but the only thing that concerns me is when a corporation, for what it sees as its own benefit, decides to change history, I'd be interested in how the public reacts to that.
Dan Rather, thanks so much for joining us on KERA.
Thank you very much for having me. Good luck and Godspeed.
We contacted CBS News, and the network told us Rather's work has been, quote, well represented in CBS News' coverage. From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Bryant University, for 150 years preparing students with knowledge, skills, and qualities of character for success in a changing world. Bryant.edu. From Zurich Insurance, providing risk management and insurance solutions to help businesses meet their ever-changing needs. Learn more at ZurichNA.com. And from United Healthcare, with information on doctors, treatment options, and cost estimates for patients to make educated health decisions, UHC.com. This is NPR.
In the history of a people, there are moments and lives deserving of artistic illumination. On November 23rd, the Nasher Sculpture Center will honor President John F. Kennedy with a soundings concert that will present a new work by composer Stephen Mackey. One Red Rose is written in commemoration of this anniversary and is commissioned by the Nasher with Yellow Barn and Carnegie Hall. More information at NasherSculptureCenter.org or 214-242-5100.